Thank you, Tim, for leading us in those songs this evening. Good to see everyone here. We're running thin tonight, so we're especially thankful for our friends from Bethany that have joined us tonight as well. Always thankful to have visitors. Sometimes you anticipate that, and so you do maybe the lesson that you need to in the morning hour, and maybe a lesson that you may want to more so in the evening. One that will help those that are in Christ to be edified and built up in the most holy faith. And the lesson I selected for tonight was this lesson: the power of spiritual songs. Why do we sing? I believe there is a power in songs, and that's one reason why God's asked us to do that. Sometimes we do lessons on the authority in regard to singing and using instruments or not using instruments, those kinds of things. This lesson's different. This lesson deals more with the inherent power connected in song. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The church at Corinth had a number of issues. And Paul, through the help of the household of Chloe, was informed about these issues and was working through them with the brethren. There was some strife and division, some jealousies over various spiritual gifts that they had. Chapter 12, Paul talks about the various gifts. And then chapter 13, he says that you need to really focus on what's going to remain. Those spiritual gifts would not remain forever. The miraculous spiritual gifts would vanish away. Contrary to what many still think today and falsely practice, they have vanished away. And so he tells them in chapter 13 that love would abide. And then in chapter 14, how to utilize what they have been given for the edification of the body of Christ. Ultimately, everything was to lend towards that and tend towards that, so that they would understand their worship and service unto God. So in chapter 14, he says in verse 15, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Just like we understand the importance of saying the words in prayer and meaning those words and understanding what we say, the same is also true in regards to our singing as well, that we would sing with understanding. And so there's just one reason why I think it's worthy of our time to talk about this subject and how we might grow in our knowledge of it. So what is some of the power of spiritual songs? Why do we sing? Well, songs praise God from our hearts. And don't you think that God is worthy of adoration and praise? Absolutely. He has made us, and we wouldn't be here, not even for 1 minute, not even for 1 second, if it wasn't by His good, gracious kindness. He deserves every ounce of our praise. If you look in Psalm 47, and of course you know, the Psalms were the early hymn books for the Jewish people. Psalm 47, there it expresses very beautifully the praise that He is worthy of. Psalm 47, there it says in verse 6, "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises." Verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations, and God sits on His holy throne." So because of God and who He is and where He sits and His place in relation to ours, the psalmist recognized that he was worthy then of adoration and of praise. "For God is King of all the earth." Now, those of us that have traveled some of the earth can quickly conjure up some of the beauties of the earth that we have seen. Maybe the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, Mount St. Helens, some of the mountains, Smoky Mountains, beautiful scenes. God is King over all the earth. The God that made those beautiful things is certainly more beautiful than things that He has made. And He's worthy of our praise. Would we ever sing with lack of enthusiasm or joy in our heart for the One that made all things, including ourselves? In Psalm 148, Here's a song that points our attention to those beauties of the earth and then always points at our voices and our hearts towards the one that made those things. Can you read these words without being excited? I mean, listen to it. Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens and heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures from all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted, and His glory is above the earth and heaven. You know, we have some songs that we would consider songs of praise. Of course, one that comes to mind is number 54. The song, Praise Him, Praise Him. And of course, you can't help but think of Psalm 148. It says that very phrase over and over again. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Another song that is closely tied to this thread of thought is number 5. Number 5, how great Thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. Indeed, how great Thou art. See, one reason we sing is because we offer praise and adoration unto God. I'd say, well, can't we do that in prayer as well? Yes, of course. We certainly have verses that express our praise and adoration in prayer as well. We should do that. But one may be able to express themselves in a more poetic and beautiful way by words that have been authored by those that have such skill and ability. I'm not one that has such a silver tongue. I don't. My prayers are rather simple. I express my heart's desire. What's in my heart? I offer in prayer to my God. And that's absolutely fine and right before Him. But there's times where I'd like to express myself more deeply of how I feel, but just don't have the words by which to explain it. And yet, these songs have those words. And maybe you've sung a song one time and said, that's exactly what I was trying to say, but I just couldn't collect my thoughts into such able words. You know, there's times where we go to the store to buy a card, maybe for our wife, and we want something that expresses how we feel about her, how much love we have in our heart for her. And just to write, I love you, while it is a true sentiment and very nice indeed, it's not always as majestic and poetic as some of those Hallmark cards, right? And so that's why we go down there and spend, what, $5.95, $7.95 on one little piece of cardboard. But yet it says something very beautiful. And we'll take our time reading through those, and that's what I was trying to say when we find that one. And we give that to our dear spouse, the one that we love. We're careful when we pick those kinds of cards, aren't we? Would you ever pick a card without thought? We shouldn't, right? And you wouldn't say a card's a card and just walk by the card aisle and just take the first one that you walk by and hand it to her. Right? You might mistakenly give a very appropriate card to an uncle, to your wife, right? You just pick one. No, we wouldn't do that. We'd have some thought behind it, wouldn't we? Don't you think the same should be true in regards to our praise towards our God, that there be some thought process behind what we want to sing and express unto Him, and especially as we lead others in song and thought as well. Surely, we don't want to lose sight in our praise by picking maybe an appropriate song to be led at an inappropriate time. We surely don't want to do that. It would derail, distract, more than edify our brethren and ourselves as well. I've heard of some that led a "Why Not Tonight" at 11 in the morning, right? The sun shining bright as can be. All that does is display that the song leader didn't have much thought put in the selection of the song. One ought to convey some thought. Make sure that if it's an invitation song, that it's indeed inviting, causing one to respond to what they have heard from God's holy, most holy word. Things like that are very important. When a song leader says, "Well, let's turn to Take Time to Be Holy, but let's just sing the first stanza." Again, it conveys a lack of thought in what is taking place and derails and distracts our praise of our God. God deserves our thoughts and our hearts involved in song. It's very important. I mean, what would you think if at the cross one of the disciples decided to sing Psalm 100? "Shout to the Lord a most joyful shout, all you lands." Inappropriate time, though an appropriate song, just at the wrong time. See, these things are important. And we have to understand that just like we wouldn't pick for our spouse just haphazardly the first card that came to mind or the first one in the row, we do the same what to do with our God as well. Because He is more valuable and more special than all of our spouses and mates, isn't He? Surely He is. So there's a power in songs. And what we're saying is that we can rob that power by distracting instead of enhancing our thoughts at the particular worship hour. But also, there's another reason why there's power in spiritual songs. Not only because they come from the heart as we praise God, but because they also teach us things as well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. It says, "To let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." See, again, the thought of our hearts being attached to what we're doing in song. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It can't be detached from that, or it is of no value to God. But also, it's also, He's saying, no value towards one another. If we don't really mean those words that we say, then we don't take to heart the teachings of the song that we're singing. See, one reason why we sing is to teach others about God. Teach others about His ways and about His commandments. I think of song number 489. "Blessed are they who do His commandments." I mean, there's a song that talks about teaching and admonishing. "Blessed are those who do His commandments. They shall claim the tree of life, and into the city they shall enter. They are victors in the strife. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Into the city they shall enter. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they." We're conveying that to our children and to one another. "Blessed are those who do His commandments." And these things can be and will be remembered, retained. You might teach me by word and I'll forget, but teach me by song and I can remember. Over in Deuteronomy 31, before the children of Israel were to enter the promised land, God had commanded Moses to write the children of Israel a song. And there in Deuteronomy 31, the very last verse, verse 30, it says, "Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." Chapter 32, verse 1. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew." This was a song And he called it teaching. As raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. For a God, he is a God of truth, without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Those would be words that they would retain and remember as they go into the promised land. In fact, he says that in chapter 31 and verse 19. 31:19, he says, now therefore write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And he goes on to say in verse 21, it shall be when the evils and troubles have come upon them that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. The song will not be forgotten. You know, one reason why they want to remove the Pledge of Allegiance out of classrooms is because of the phrase, one nation under God. They're hoping that we would forget that. So remove the song. But children that remember that, retain that. And here, God told Moses, make sure they know the words of the song, so that when they are in rebellion, and they recall this familiar tune, the song of Moses given, it will remind them of how he was faithful and how he warned them of what he would do when they were unfaithful. Essentially, he's saying song's an effective way to teach. But we knew that already, didn't we? Many of us know the ABCs by song. We know the New Testament books by song. I didn't know this when I was a child, but there's an Old Testament song as well. There's two of them. One that said, oh, you know, now I know. I mean, it's pretty nice, pretty handy. It would have been handy back in the old days. I had to do it brute force, you know, the old way. These things are important. They help us pass on great information. Now, understanding that song is an effective way to teach, then we realize that that could be used for good or for bad, for good or for evil. Think about the songs that we listen to on the radio, or what our children listen to on pop television or, again, on the radio. See, what we are putting into our ears through song, we're retaining. I mean, there's a reason why gangs are filled with violence, because much of the music you listen to is violent music. The two go hand in hand together. Songs influences the way we believe and the way that we walk. Spiritually speaking, it's true as well, and that's why we must be cautious. Because if a song teaches error, then we need to repudiate that song and maybe not use it, or explain a way in which it could be understood in a truthful manner. Because error is error, we have to understand, if that's the case, then maybe this song just better not be used at all. I know that sometimes there's a license for poetic license, that kind of a thing. I grant you that. But our little ones don't understand that all the time. There's a song, the chorus says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Beautiful sentiment. But we need to teach our young that it's not a better felt than told understanding. I know he lives because the Bible tells me he lives, and there's factual evidence that he lives, and I believe that with all my heart. That's how I know he lives. See, these words will be remembered and shall not be forgotten, just as it was said with the song of Moses. Many of you and I can sing a number of these songs from memory. In fact, there was one time that we had to do that. Remember when all the lights went out? And so we had a little song service there. We just sang usually the first or second stanza of a number of songs just from memory. These words shall not be forgotten. So those words are vitally important, that they must be spiritual and true. And if so, then they convey a powerful teaching to us all. But also, the power of spiritual songs is because songs help us to be thankful people. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, there, verse 19, Here it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the giving thanks always was in connection to speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Brethren, we need to express our gratitude to God, for He has done great things for us. Isaiah chapter 12. There it's often called a hymn of praise, but here you see the thanks that is involved here. In Isaiah 12, it says in verse 1, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you'll say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the people, make mention of His name. His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things." He has done excellent things. We express our gratitude to God oftentimes in song and express the things that He has done for us and how happy we are to be His children. Right? We even got that song, right? I'm happy today. I'm happy today. All those words are important. They remind us of how thankful we are to be a child of God. It also makes you wonder why there is, and there's some in, almost in every congregation, that just choose not to sing for one reason or another. They may open up a songbook. They may stand with you, but they won't sing with you. Or if they do, maybe it's lethargically, without any heart or thought involved at all. Why? Why would they do that? Do they have nothing to be happy about, spiritually speaking? You know, James 5:13 says, "If anyone among you is happy, let him sing songs." Or psalms is actually the translation. Sing when one is happy. Anyone cheerful. And what really gets me is that they might sing a secular song in the privacy of their car, or a secular song in their own home, but they won't sing a spiritual song in the assembly. "Well, you just don't understand. I've got a horrible singing voice." I don't care, because God doesn't care about that. I'll tell you what, I don't have a great singing voice either. Julie lets me know there in the privacy of our own home when a tune comes to mind. Oh, too high-pitched. But you know, that doesn't stop me. And I know she doesn't mean any harm by that as well. And we kid each other. But brethren, if you can talk, you can sing. You can sing. And you should want to, shouldn't you? I mean, that's what Jesus had in mind, at least in principle. In Matthew 15:17, He says, "The things that proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart." Now, Jesus used that principle to show that if there's evil in your heart, then you're going to speak evil. But the reverse would also be true as well. If there's gladness in your heart, if there's thanksgiving in your heart, if your heart is spiritually set, then your mouth is not going to be able to hold that back either. You see that? It cannot hold it back. If anyone is happy, let him sing psalms. In Hebrews 13:15, notice what the Hebrew writer says there. Hebrews 13:15. It says, "Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His names." The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Song number 392 is the song that came to my mind at this particular point. "Count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what the Lord has done. Beautiful thought, right? You know, at this juncture, I might mention this as well. There's always new songs. Every generation has new songs. Is that right or wrong? Well, I always say it depends, really. Two factors. Number one, is it scriptural? And that's the most important one. Those words have to be scriptural. But number two is also the motive. Is it just simply because, oh, I'm tired of worshiping God and I want a new fix? Then there's something wrong with that motive. One ought to have a joyful heart to serve God all the days of their life. But at the same time, we have to understand, and it's often sometimes younger people that like some of these songs. If it's coming from a genuine motive that wants to express thanks to God, then that's good. And I want to encourage young people to do that. That they're always thankful to God. I realize we may not like some change, but we have to be careful with that line of thought as well. If it's scriptural, and if the motive is right, we have to understand some of those things. I've also mentioned before about the 7-Eleven songs and, you know, the seven words mentioned 11 times over and over again. You know, again, if something's done just to generate and to conjure up some kind of emotion, then that's emotionalism. Our emotion ought to be there, born out of genuine thanks for our ability to be able to serve God and for who God is. That ought to always be there, regardless of the song, new or old. So we have to understand these things. And I just thought I'd mention that in passing. There is a power in spiritual songs because songs help us to be thankful. And then last for this evening, another power is that songs inspire courage in our hearts. Courage. You know, we need courage, don't we? As I mentioned this morning, we're in a spiritual battle. And Satan fights against us. And it's good to know the Word of God tells us that when we resist him, steadfast in the faith, then we've won a battle. And we get a moment of reprieve. Right? All armies have to rest for a little bit. But he's going to come back and fight again. He looks for another opportune time. We need courage in the battles that we fight. And there's a power in song. Have you ever seen athletes there before the game begins? Before the basketball game or the baseball game, they've got some earbuds in their ears. What are they doing? They're listening to some kind of song. Some kind of song that will help them overcome their fears and the butterflies in their stomachs so they can do their best. You know, World War I, World War II, you can see in documentaries, many times armies needed courage and hope to fight the battle. And many of them found it in song. They'd sing together in battle formation. They reminded them that their brother was there next to them, to the right and to the left. They have courage. I need courage. We have courage together. Remember one military gentleman, he was telling me this case, we were sharing these thoughts. He said this was so. And he said, and we're trained, he said, to sing certain chants and certain songs. And what it does is it takes our minds off the physical pain and the physical discouragement and puts it somewhere else. It helps us focus on the mission to be accomplished. There's power in songs. There is. And oftentimes we get spiritually wounded or spiritually sidetracked, and song can give us the courage and focus to stay the course. There's times when maybe I was a little worried, or we're going to the doctor's office, or, you know, especially when we had the triplets, you get another ultrasound, everything okay, and you'd sing a song. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me, in this world below. I mean, these things remind us and pick us up again. In Job 35, verse 10, he said, God gives songs in the night. And he wasn't talking about just when the sun went down and became dark. Job was talking about the night of discouragement. That's what he was in. He was discouraged. Every circumstance that could happen upon a person had happened to him that was negative. It was bad. And he said, God gives songs in the night that aid and encouragement could be found through song. And maybe you've had that experience before where you've been down and you open up a hymn book and you just start singing. The first song, you know, you're still down. The second song, you're still down. The third one, it's a little bit less. The fourth one, a little bit less than that. The fifth one, you're saying, it'll be all right. And the sixth one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It just turns the night into day. Think about Paul in Acts chapter 16, when him and Silas were beaten with rods, beaten so badly that they couldn't sleep at midnight. So what'd they do? Acts 16:25. At midnight, Paul and Silas sang hymns unto God. Indeed, God gives songs in the night. It encourages them. Remember the disciples? Just moments, I mean literally hours before Jesus would be taken away as some kind of criminal. Just hours. The Bible says that the disciples sang a hymn and then departed. I mean, don't you think that would have even encouraged the Lord Himself in such an hour of trial? Songs do that. 397 is one song. Stand up for Jesus. You need a little encouragement? Think about that song. Just doing a little research there on the history, it was actually written by a man who was trying to encourage other men to be courageous. Men to be men and to stand up. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. And you're not alone. He doesn't expect you to fight alone. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Oh, these are great reminders for us all. Again, another song, Song 63, I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. That's another song that I think about from time to time. I need Him every hour. You know, even David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, in 2 Samuel 22, he recognized that fact as he sang a song of might and courage that God might bless him in his life ahead, whatever remained. I hope these points cover this subject well and remind us of the power in spiritual song. Because there is power in song. There is power in song. There's this illustration that I received from this book. It's a true story. And you're welcome to look at it later if you'd like. A preacher that went to hold a meeting. And he said instantly he could tell the church was divided. Those that sat on the right and those that sat on the left, you could just feel it. You could cut it with a knife. So he began the meeting. He said, he got up to the pulpit and said, Brother Brown, I want you to lead us in the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. So he got up there and led that. Came back Sunday night, and as he approached the pulpit, said, Brother Brown, I want you to lead us in Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Monday, approached the pulpit. Brother Brown, lead us in Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Brother Brown, lead us in Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. As Brother Brown walked up to lead in that song, one of the gentlemen on the right stood up and said, Enough. Let's solve this tonight, brethren. Let's solve it tonight. and there was forgiveness and joy and thanksgiving. Why? Because of the power in songs. Let's not rob it of its power. Let's understand that it's true. And let's utilize it for the glory of God. Well, you turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Because if we understand that there's a power in song, then you and I need to understand that it should not just be used only on Sundays and Wednesdays, right? We would never think of only praying on just Sundays and Wednesdays. We know we need prayer all the time in our lives. And the same is true with song, because we know it has its power to keep us faithful and to help us. In Psalm 96, verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day." So I want to challenge you, dear friend. As the songs that we sing from day to day, only secular songs. And when we come to services and the song leader maybe wants to sing an additional song that we normally don't sing. Oh. Or the song leader says, "We're going to sing all five stanzas of this song." What's wrong with our hearts if that is in our heart? The psalmist said not only to sing it on those days, but day to day. Every day. "For where your heart is, there your treasure is also." Matthew 6 and verse 21. And we must recognize that there's a day that is coming where all the faithful of God will be redeemed and be taught, brought up to a place where He resides, where there we will sing a new song and adore Him forever and ever. And our hearts will never be tuned to a spiritual song or a secular song ever again. Are you ready for that day? Are you anxiously looking forward to that day? And if you're bored or not interested or don't take care and attention to the songs that we sing, then what makes us think that we really are ready for that day or longing for such a home where that's all we'll be doing is praising God? I hope you accept that challenge and be made better by it, as I need those challenges from time to time as well. If you're here tonight and you're not in Christ, would you not repent of your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, become a child of God, so these songs that we're going to sing would also be accepted to His throne from your heart as well. And if you're here tonight and you are a child of God, but you have lost your zeal, you've become apathetic and indifferent, no longer caring, you're just walking by the card aisle and swiping the first one that comes to your mind, then you need to change your attitude as well. And come back to the One who loved you and died for you, so that you might live for Him and sing to Him. Won't you come while we stand and sing?